Hey guys, this is Dan. I'm coming in at the top of the show, speaking into a microphone of all things. Imagine that. See, this show features me not speaking into a microphone because I forgot to switch my microphone back to my main computer. So if the audio quality on my end is a little bit sketchy, I'm sorry, it will be back next week. This is a good one though, so pay attention.
Dan, what have we done?
What have we done, Dan? Well, we created a podcast and we talk about movies on it. Is that what you were referring to?
We watched a movie.
Oh,
and it had a monkey.
It had a monkey. It had a
the kitty cat.
It had a bat. It had a blonde haired child, and it had weird looking robot monsters.
It was so scary.
It's okay.
So scary, Dan.
It's okay. Let Daddy Dan.
Wipe my ass.
Let Daddy Dan take you over.
Oh, take me over. Yikes. This is a whole other type of fetish that we shouldn't maybe address at a later date. Not
maybe.
Right now. Hey, guys. This is the Indie Film Review. Hello.
Hi. I'm Dan.
That's Dan.
That's yep. Jared.
Jared. Yes.
From this day on, I will be known as Daddy Dan.
Daddy Dan is pretty good, because then you can say double D, and all of that is synergy.
Yes.
All of that works.
Synergy.
Together.
Say it with us, everyone.
Synergy.
Okay.
Synergy. It harmonizes. So we watched a film, did we not?
We watched probably one of the best films I've seen in a long time. That's not a spoiler, I don't think, because this film is bonkers, just to say the least. It's way, way, way out there. It scores 150,000,000% for originality, because who the fuck thought of this narrative? It's beyond me. So
the film
we watched that we're talking about is called Violence Voyager. It's an animated film that we found on Amazon Prime. And I don't know, Jared, do you think everybody should watch this film?
How is this film animated? Tell people about that.
Okay, so yes, I have not seen an animated film in this way since the 30s. Like, okay, so it's cutouts. It's animated with cutouts. And there was an animated film in the 30s called Prince Ahmed, and I forgot the subtitle of it, but I watched that.
And you've been alive for centuries,
yes.
Right?
You're some no, kind I'm of saying movie I vampire. I watched that cutout film in film
in
school.
The 30s because yes, you're in the 30s. Immortal.
But anyway, as I was saying, in my film school days, I watched that film. I'm like, this is a pretty cool animation style. So it's made with cutouts. South Park also started with cutouts. Mm-hmm. So it's that animation style. It looks like they're literally drawn, cut out, and then moved with fingers, basically. You don't see the fingers, but it's essentially a pixelated stop motion kind of thing, but it's only cutouts. I have on YouTube, which I'm not going to link, but I tried to do my own cutout animation series, and I made a trailer for it, and I immediately stopped because of how hard it was.
Yeah, it's very difficult. There is a show that I watched recently called Box Peak that is a parody of Pokemon, but the whole gimmick is it's just dumb kids in boxes and they like peek out and look at each other. So like it's a big joke on Pokemon and all this other stuff, and like the game isn't even fun at all, but like this whole world is obsessed with it. But yeah, the entire show is done with like popsicle sticks and cardboard cutouts, and it looks amazing. It's like really, really
this
good.
This film looked amazing too. Like the art style was incredible. It's just it's kind of jarring at first if you have never seen a cutout, like, or if you're not used to South Park, but it's very jarring in the first 10 minutes, and then once you get used to it, you're like, okay, this is I can follow this narrative. But then the narrative
immediately kills children.
Yep. Okay, Dan, explain this movie in 30 seconds or less.
Okay, so in 30 seconds?
Yes.
All right. All right, you got the timer going?
Yes.
So there's a foreign kid in Japan, and his name is Bobby, and his best friend is Akun, I think.
Yep, Akun, yep.
And they go to find their friend that we disappeared from school or something. He moved to a different village. And on the way to that village, they find a sign that says Violence Voyager, turn this way. And it's an amusement park. And it's like, let's go check it out. And the guy who owns that park is basically a mad scientist that is going to murder the children.
Pretty much. And if you like David Cronenberg.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is
that comes to mind.
Heavily influenced by Cronenberg.
If you like body horror.
Body horror to the max. And that's probably why I liked it so much. It reminded me so much of Cronenberg.
So let's do our little initial feelings. Because you're saying you love this movie, right?
I absolutely love
it. You're into
it? Yes.
I really enjoyed this film up until the final act, which I kind of feel like the tone changes. The characters somehow become unbelievable. It's weird how, like, my... I know, because this movie doesn't make any sense.
Well, like, from the get-go...
It actually kind of lost me.
From the get-go, I felt like these characters were unbelievable. Like...
You're right, you're right.
I couldn't identify with them, so I let them be on their merry way, basically. Mm-hmm. And I was just going to observe fly in the wall style... Just what are these characters going to do? And then if you did that, you were pleasantly surprised at what these characters are going to do, because half the time the characters aren't in control of anything and shit gets real fast. And again, these are children.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what I'll say. I didn't feel like I was watching an anime until I felt like I was watching an anime. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This movie gets very anime, like so anime, it's burning into your brain. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I just thought I was watching this film and all of a sudden it's like, nah, dude, this is fucking anime. And you're like, whoa, this is fucking anime. And it became anime way too fast. And it was like, well, we're going to throw logic out the window.
See, I liked that. I liked,
but by then,
I liked how fast it picked up. I'll tell you the moment where it became anime. It was about 12 minutes and 53 seconds because I paused it. I'm like, where the fuck is this movie going? How much longer is there in this movie? Like, as soon as it ramps up, it doesn't stop and it goes pretty quickly.
This movie is out of control. This might be one of the most insane films I've seen in a long time.
That's why it's one of the best ones I've seen in a long time.
It's so disturbing. It's hard to watch, but you can't look away. It's putting little kids in danger, which is, like, really scary. It's putting animals in danger.
I feel like we talked about this a little bit whenever we talked about I Lost My Body. I feel like following children, young children around in an animated feature feels whimsical, and you are rooting for the kids, you're on the side of the kids, even if you can't identify with them, you are like, oh, this is going to be a fun children's adventure. But no, this is a very adult themed anime or animation. Mm-hmm. See, I'm calling it anime now. It's whimsical until, like you said, it turns into this insane anime plot that nobody has ever heard of before.
So you asked me a question in the beginning. Why don't we do questions now?
Okay.
What was that question again, Dan? Just to refresh my memory.
I don't remember that question.
That's okay.
Oh, wait. I do remember. Can you recommend this to people?
Can I recommend this movie to people? I can absolutely do that to certain people that I think would understand. Because if you were to recommend this to, say, I don't know, your boss at work. They probably would fire you. You'd probably be fired.
I will put a challenge out there to the Necro Pod Icon Network. Yeah. I think everybody should watch this film.
Yep, we're going to do a call to action, and we're going to have everyone watch this movie, and it's going to ruin all their lives, and they're going to really fucking hate us.
They will fucking hate us. They'll be like, not going to watch anything you suggest anymore.
Like, what the fuck? Hey everybody, this is Future Jared. I'm just going to put a little spoiler warning here since we didn't actually do it in the
episode you are listening to, so this is the spoiler warning for you. If you'd like to see Violet's Voyager, I highly recommend it. It's on Amazon Prime. It's real messed up, and we're about to spoil a bunch of it. So, okay, this is your spoiler warning. All right, back to the show.
Next question, Dan. What's up with that kid's forehead?
I don't fucking know. Okay, so both Akun and his brother Yakun.
Yeah.
Don't think about that. They have gigantic foreheads that have been, like, it looks like they sewed into them like pillows.
Yeah. They have like so throw pillow heads.
Weird. And then
it's like you took like a chicken wire fence and like pressed it against their heads for a month.
Then whenever you first saw the film, like saw the characters, you noticed both of them had the scars, right?
Yes.
And you thought that was just like a weird artistic style, and then they bring it up in the movie. It's like, what the
they
fuck?
They show it so often where I'm like, okay, I know what's going to happen with this scar. I think I get it now, because you see the robots with like the holes in their hands, mm-hmm. and I'm like, well, he's going to get that power somehow where he's going to be able to... And of course, they don't really explain it too well.
Okay,
like,
no, yeah, hold on. Do that. Hold on. The amount of time it takes for you to figure that out is you're kind of giving it away, or not giving it away. You're coming to that a little bit too fast. You see the scars throughout, so you know something's going to happen with them, but did you ever guess that they were going to be turned into those weird robot creatures?
No.
Until they
I
actually
never thought
turned.
For a single second until, that the kids were going to be harmed.
Until they are actually harmed, you don't think they're going to be harmed. And it just, like, it's a, it, you flip a switch and it's bam, harm to children. And you're like, what the fuck? Stop, stop. And it won't stop. And it just shoves the body horror appendages down your throat. God, I'm foaming at the mouth, this movie.
I know, me too. The like first section of the movie, like act one, the kids are in danger. There's scary stuff going on, but it still feels like you're watching a Otis and Milo type of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like back when you didn't realize that it was all, they were actually hurting the animals.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So it's like, oh no! It's like kind of like a... Can I think of a better example? An example in a film where, like, kids are in danger, but they're not really in danger, you know? Like, they're fine. Like, the worst thing that happens is, like, oh, I scraped my knee, you know, stuff like that. Then it takes an abrupt turn. We even get introduced to a bunch of characters who immediately die. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was pretty
I thought
awesome.
This was going to be the cast of characters, and then maybe, like, one by one they would die. No.
No.
They, like,
it was
almost
like, there was an
died.
Anime, I forgot what it was called, Gare Zero.
Yeah.
Gare Zero had, like, it was all superheroes, and they had all these amazing powers, and the first episode they all die.
That's hilarious. Is it good?
I didn't finish it. I did because, oh, like, okay. I couldn't get into it after I saw all the characters die.
That's funny, though.
Yeah, it was funny.
I haven't seen that. Okay. Dan, do you have another question for me before we get into this? Because we kind of spoiled a little bit. I apologize already.
You know, I'm not apologizing for spoiling it already. Because you can't necessarily spoil this movie.
You can't unsee it.
Yes.
I think even listening to us talk, I feel the heat of the film is entering through your ears and penetrating you in the most uncomfortable way. And that feeling, I want you to magnify times 1,000 when you watch this movie. It will change your life. Not for better or worse. It just is. Your life will be different.
It was crazy. And I've seen some crazy things.
Yeah, we've seen some really insane movies. And this is definitely... Okay, Dan, when I was searching around, I was just like randomly looking at films. This was a while ago. And I came across this movie. The first thing that caught me was the animation.
Mm-hmm.
And the title was like, Violence Voyager. This sounds fucking awesome. I felt like the little kids in this movie finding the theme park. And then when I saw some stills of it, I just fell in love. I was like, I have to see this. It felt like when we found Tetsuo, the Iron Man, mm-hmm. you know, or like the Holy Mountain. Like, I felt like a kid again discovering this like forbidden movie that no one should see. Like, ooh, this is very, like, this is nuts. Like, Yeah, it's like finding a little gold nugget.
Just like Tetsuo, you watch it and you're like, what did I get myself into?
Yeah. It's like watching the Lair of the White Worm when I was like fucking 13-year-old. It's like, I shouldn't be watching this. This is crazy. Okay, I think we're done with questions. Fuck questions.
Yeah.
Fuck everything. Fuck the world. Nothing matters anymore. Guys, we're going to talk about Violence Voyager. We're going to spoil it right now. I 100% highly recommend that you go see this movie, even if it scars you for life. Yeah. I'm just trying to warn you.
Sometimes
right now.
Scars are good, you know, because they remind us of things.
They toughen you up, you know, like that anime boy. You know, he gets beat up and he gets stronger because he got beat up. That's what that is. He watches young children get hurt a lot, and he's like, I'm better now because I saw that. Oh my god, Dan, what the fuck? Oh, what the fuck is this?
Okay, so.
All right.
Let's talk about the exposition, because they take time for what this movie is. They take time to set things up. Bobby is in he's a foreigner in Japan, is mm-hmm. assuming, and his mom is sick. We know his mom is sick. We know his
classic.
We know his
classic
dad.
Mom is sick.
Dad doesn't like him that much, or something like that. Like the relationship.
His dad's distant.
Yeah, very distant dad. So you get everything right there. Like you understand what this kid is going through. And then his best friend is like the loner kid that nobody likes, and mm-hmm. people make fun of him. There's like a little scene of being like all of this gets taken care of in
like 3 minutes.
5 minutes. Yeah, 3 to 5 minutes. Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
I like the bullies, too. So you have, like, regular girl who's, like, really, like, oh, you're a loser. Then you have girl who always has her tongue out in every scene, never puts her tongue away, and it's, like, really long and pointy like a snake. And then you have dude who never says anything with big old buck teeth.
Yep.
And you're like, what are these guys for? Spoiler alert, they're there to die. That's what they are actually there to be killed later. They are fodder for the film. And yes, you're right. This whole intro beginning really sets up how Bobby already feels kind of isolated and bored and like there's nothing going on in his life. And you start to feel uneasy immediately when, so Bobby, they show off their science fair projects. Bobby makes this baseball diamond little game. You're like, oh, that's cute. And then Akun makes a giant dinosaur out of cardboard, which is like, okay, that's fun. And then little Akun, the little rascal, Yakun, he makes some kind of freakish sperm demon that I don't even know what he made it out of. It looks like a horror. It is a Cthulhu monster that no child could ever create. And then they just throw it on the ground like it's no big deal. And even, like, the way characters look make you feel uneasy. Like the weird tongue girl and this kid's forehead. Like even those things, like things that are very innocuous and should be like, that's just how characters look. They're not even saying anything crazy. Makes you feel uncomfortable and uneasy. And then this little fucking spermy demon, that shit made me feel so like, I was like, this is weird. I'm already on edge. Like this is creepy as fuck. That spermy demon doesn't matter. You never see it again. It's a throwaway. Like, as soon as it hits the ground, nobody cares anymore. But then, like, this whole movie is just going to be like that, where it's just, like, weird shit. You're like, what the fuck is going on? This is really creepy. So these kids, they head to the mountain in the morning.
And they come across, what is his name, Lucky Monkey Man?
Old Man Lucky Monkey.
Old Man Lucky Monkey.
Which you would think this guy is going to have, like, a way bigger plot in the film.
This part of the film is the first time I was legitimately frightened.
Probably one of the best scares in the movie.
Yeah, Bobby. They get to this guy's house and Bobby has to go to the bathroom. So he goes into this porta potty that's on this guy's property. And he goes into the bathroom, takes his pants off, starts doing his business. And he looks up and there's a fucking chimpanzee hiding on the mm-hmm. roof or the ceiling.
Drooling on him,
thing.
Watching him.
So fuck up. What the fuck?
This chimpanzee has whiskers
yeah.
that are 3 times longer than his face. Like, it's they come out, they're very cartoonish. He's very strange looking, and he's very, like, scary. But he's a good guy? Question mark, I guess? And so, like, Bobby and Akun keep meeting animals along the way. Like, they help a bat.
Mm-hmm.
And they save the bat by, like, it was, like, stuck under a sign or whatever. And then they have their cat with them.
Yeah, because the cat's
like, hey. Yeah, he feeds the cat an apple. And the cat's like, I will join you on your quest.
Well, no, I thought that was his cat.
It is his cat. Yeah. It is his cat. But that's what happens. And they go meet old man Lucky Monkey. And he's like, what are you kids doing out here? Because he's a hermit and he lives in a shack.
He's the equivalent of that guy from
every
Friday the
13th. You've ever seen. Yeah.
Don't go over there.
Yeah,
I heard
yeah,
about
exactly.
Ruin.
Oh, that old place? That's the old haunted gazebo.
You know, it's... He's there to warn the characters of the danger.
He's two tropes. He's two tropes in one. He's the guy who warns people, the harbinger of doom, and he explains to the dad later on what's going on. So he's also that mad scientist that explains
so
everything.
The plot can get very annoying because there's some dumb shit in this movie, and it's kind of frustrating.
Wait,
so
I don't think
this old fucking
dumb.
Man.
Yeah, okay.
This old fucking man, Lucky Monkey, he's lucky... No one else is lucky that fucking talks to him, that's for sure. So, he tells these kids, oh yeah, kids, don't go to the mountain. I know you kids want to go to the mountain.
It's dangerous at night.
It's really dangerous, don't go. And they're like, yeah, sure, we won't go, ha ha. Of course, we won't have a movie if they don't go. But I don't know, if it's almost like if Old Man Lucky Monkey had prior knowledge of why they shouldn't go... And maybe he knows about, I don't know, a certain serial killer that lives on the mountain that is kidnapping kids. That, I don't know, maybe someone he used to work with when he was a scientist. And who he knows that maybe this certain someone used their evil research to make Cronenberg monsters out of little children and feed it to his son. So his son could live forever. And then he could find a wife for his son so they could make a hybrid human being that could be the next generation of human life. And that the man is insane. Maybe he could warn them about that guy who lives in the fucking mountain who's going to fucking kill the kids. Maybe he could do that.
Maybe he could do that again. Maybe he could do that. Maybe he could tell the little kids about the demon in the fucking mountain. Maybe he could do that.
Instead of, you know, what he does do, which is jack shit. He fingers his own asshole and lets his monkey lick the peanut butter off his balls, and that's it, Dan. He's like, I don't know, kids. God. It's dangerous. You shouldn't go. And then they go.
That's exactly how you feel when you read the synopsis of this. Because the synopsis doesn't give anything away either. It's just like, two kids go across the village, but they may be in danger. And you don't know what danger means. Danger is a very...
that's good.
Ambiguous term at that point.
Yes. So, okay. This old man, I'll never get over this.
This old
man,
honestly. He played five. Mm-hmm. He played picnic on my
monkey. Doesn't he seem sinister and evil, but yet he's supposed to be helping? Like,
yeah,
he helps
a little bit.
The main character.
Maybe he was in on it. Maybe.
I thought he was. I wish the big twist was that he was in on it and that he wanted to steal, like, the experiments for himself.
Like,
how cool would that have been?
They could have fixed that. That could have been a really quick fix. He would only have to do one thing. Whenever the dad came to save them, mm-hmm. he could have killed the dad, like, while the dad wasn't looking. That would have made perfect sense.
Or he's trying to get people there to infiltrate his base. And be like, listen, the only way to stop this former scientist guy who I worked with is to get this information or, like, do this thing. And that thing is to get him... the data, so he knows how to do the experiments. Like, he's jealous of the other guy and wants to get... there's a point where he's dressed up in, like, military clothes. He's like, your mission is to infiltrate the base. It was like Metal Gear Solid. And it was very strange. And he's, like, talking to him and the animals, and, like, him and all the animals go on this secret mission. I'm getting ahead of myself, because that shit is where, like, the film really lost me. Let's talk about where the film was still on track. Dan...
Okay.
Tell me about some of your favorite scenes from the movie going forward.
All right. Let me think. Hold on. You give me one first.
I liked how mundane the beginning was mixed with, like, this eeriness. So when they first get to the Violence Voyager theme park, which is in the middle of the woods, across a bridge over a deep chasm. they get there and there's just like creepy dude there. He's like, hey kids, I set up this amusement park all by myself. You know, it only costs 200 yen to get in, which is like $2 to Americans. And the little kids are like, oh, we don't have enough money. And they're like, oh, sorry, mister, I guess we're going to leave. And then the dude is like, god damn it, I put this uniform on for no reason. He's like, oh, he's like, I got to get these kids to come in. You're like, oh, no, this is creepy. So then he tells them like, oh, hey, kids, actually, we're going to do it for free. And then they get in and then you're like, okay, this is really creepy. And then you meet his sister. The villain's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of, she almost like makes you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, well, now there's two people. Now it's not just one crazy guy. There's another person, and this feels more official. They watch a video.
Yeah.
You know, like they explain the fake world and the mission they're going to go on. They go and select their gun, which is cool. It's like a water gun, right?
They choose their own water guns, and they're tasked with like shooting the cardboard cutouts of these things that this guy created.
Yes. Yeah.
But that made me like want to go to it. Like if I were a kid, this theme park would be amazing.
Sounds cool. Yeah. Because you're basically, it's the monsters are all cardboard cutouts and they shoot water at you and you're supposed to like dodge them, get away, and then you shoot water back at them and they fall down.
And then, so, what's his name? I already forgot. Bobby? No. Is it,
yep.
Bobby?
Bobby. It's
Bobby. He takes, you know, your typical super soaker, and Hakun takes a little dolphin shaped squirt gun.
A little dolphin pistol, which, and he's holding it so badass too, like, yeah, so cool. And then, like, they do, like, this typical action stuff. He's like, whoa, you really saved me back
there.
He's
that a lot.
No problem, dude. Yeah. Oh, I loved it. I love that shit. It was so great. Because it still feels innocent and silly and fun.
Yeah.
And then...
then they meet the other children.
Yes, they meet that one girl. She gets, she's like, I've been here for 10 days. You have to get me out of here. Then she gets kidnapped. And then there's this dog that the owner had that's now been let loose, and mm-hmm. now the dog is fighting. Now the film feels so real because they're fighting this fucking pit bull or whatever, and then the cat starts fighting it, and the cat gets hurt, and like this whole scene where the cat gets hurt and thrown off a cliff.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, they're really doing this with this cat?
And they personify the cat just enough to make you feel extra bad for it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They do the, absolutely. And then the cat is okay later on. It is saved, but it's only saved so that they can go on their final suicide mission with the monkey, the cat, and the bat, or whatever. Yeah. They're all there, and they're all, like, sacrificing themselves to defeat the great evil. And none of them make it. I think they all fucking die.
Yeah.
Like, the ending of this film is really sad and fucked up. What is up with the missions? It's almost like... because it comes up three different times where, like, what they're doing is a mission. You even feel it. Like, there's, like, a... energy that changes
like
in the film
urgency.
And it makes me think of like Violence Voyager is some kind of weird programming for you as you're watching it, because the monsters, even they're like TV eyes.
Yeah,
like their eyes are like giant TV lenses.
So basically, like, to just kind of give you the idea of what body horror we're talking about, is the monsters that this guy is creating are little children that have been stripped of their flesh. And they are completely just muscle tissue. And they've been given more definition in their muscles. Like, they all have abs, and they don't have any private regions. And their heads have been morphed into these, like, the best I can describe it is kind of TV mixed with the front bumper of a car with the headlights. So
yeah.
That's how far apart their eyes are. But their eyes come out from where their eyes should be in their skull and then stretch.
It's so crazy.
To meet the eye holes.
But what's really nuts is it looks like this new appendage is like a helmet.
Yeah.
Because in the back of their head, they still have their regular hair and the shape of their head. So it looks like something was pressed onto them.
Yeah.
Like they're glued to... it kind of made me think of like them being glued to a TV screen or them...
yeah.
Like just staring at a thing, watch it. Like they cannot look away from the violence, Dan. Do you think this movie had a more... like what I'm saying, they're trying to go for some kind of,
well, absolutely,
actual point.
Absolutely.
To the
like
film?
Anytime that you include body horror, I feel like they're trying to make some kind of statement about flesh. I think your idea of being melded into a television screen is pretty spot on. I didn't really think about that, but now that you've
said it. Very Cronenberg, too.
Yeah, very Cronenberg. Like, I would not be surprised if, you know, one of the main inspirations for this was Videodrome, for sure.
Yes, Videodrome, absolutely. Okay, is there one other scene you'd like to talk about, Dan, before we wrap up?
Yeah, I kind of want to talk about what the mad scientist serial killer refers to as mother.
Oh, no. I pass. Is this how the game works?
So there's this really, it was probably the hardest scene for me to watch. But Mother is like this weird chicken figure. I'm not going to go too much into it because I don't want to spoil everything. But there's this scene where his boy, I think his boy is called Takeshi.
Sure.
The first prototype robot monster person.
Mm-hmm.
He runs out of juice and he needs to get fed. And he's like, Mother's going to feed you. So he takes Mother's appendage and shoves it down this kid's throat. Like for 5 minutes, and the kid is struggling visibly, and it was hard to watch, even though he's a fucking monster and like, you know.
Dude, I didn't even get how it does look like a chicken kind of thing, and the evil robot monsters are like little baby birds.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's creepy. Oh, that's so weird. And it's so gross. The nasty tentacle is like this weird like dick tentacle thing.
With metal in it.
Spurting like white gross liquid into their mouths, and it's like running down their face
it was
so nasty.
Crazy.
One scene I fucking loved, because like I said, I kind of checked out during the end of the movie when it got super crazy anime. I still was having fun.
By the way, the dad tries to save him too, and the dad dies. Like everybody who goes on this adventure dies. Eventually, well, no. You know what? I'm not going to tell you who lives.
Yeah. You gotta watch this movie to find out. There's some crazy shit. People do live, but this movie's crazy. Okay, Dan, let's do final thoughts because this movie hurts my brain. I'm short-circuiting right now. This movie is fantastic. You should see it, but only if you have a tolerance for the very disturbing and strange. If you're into that type of film, I'd say watch this 100%.
This is one of those movies that I would... I would be proud to have in my collection. Mm-hmm. Like, because I pride myself on having all these really strange old movies or newer movies that like kind of take you on a wild ride that is fucked up, and this film fit all of those categories very well, I think.
Yeah. So the creator is Uchija. He's just one name, that's it. He's only done three different things. He did The Burning Buddha Man, Fool Japan, The ABCs of Tetsudan, I don't know, and then Violence Voyager.
Yeah.
So this guy, this is, I'm guessing, his passion project, like the real movie he's been wanting to make for a long time. Because the other two, I don't know what those are. Like one of them looks like a TV show. The other one looks like some silly zany thing. But like this shit is just... so disturbing and bizarre. I want to see an interview with this guy and figure out like why he wanted to make this movie. Okay, so thank you all for listening. I appreciate it. Dan, let's just do some plugs.
Okay, you can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Stitcher, Spotify, Facebook, mm-hmm. Indie Film Review. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
That's correct. Hey, why don't you go check out the Necropodicon? Necropodicon.com is a place where you can go to listen to podcasts. Podcasts like The Roleplay Guys, which is what I'm listening to right now. They are amazing. What they do is they're playing different RPGs. So they do different seasons of different RPGs. So one, you know, they start off with D&D. That's what I'm listening to right now. But then they're going to jump into weird games you've never heard of. So you can kind of like learn how to play those and like hear how they're played. And they're really funny. They're very entertaining. I like them a lot. And I'm having a lot of fun listening to them. So there you go. Roleplay Guys, check them out. Necropodicon.com. Go there. There's a Discord link you can click on. As soon as you go to the site, you can come talk to us. Say hello. It's really fun. So I think that's it, Dan. I think I'm going to go to therapy.
You know what? I think I'm going to go to therapy too, but not because of this movie.
not the type of therapy we're thinking. Like, your therapy was when mama goes and feeds you, and that's
real
gross. Speaking of mama bird, Dan, you have the final word.
Well, whenever I say therapy, I literally mean I'm going to watch this movie another 5 times. Good night.
This podcast is part of the Necropodicon Network.
Hey.
Huh?
You.
Me?
Yeah, you. Are you tired of watching the same multi-billion-dollar films over and over again?
I sure am.
What if I were to tell you that there are movies out there that you have never seen before but are also entertaining?
I would say that I wouldn't believe you because you're all big old fibber.
Don't just sit there with your thumb up your butt. Listen to Bad Rad Movies Podcast.
Warning, many of these films may not actually be entertaining. In fact, it is all subjective. If you feel like these subjective films are not to your liking, well, then listen to something else, because we will not be responsible for anything that might happen to you after you have watched these films.
Wow. I better go listen to the podcast right now.
That sounds just like me. Wow.